Welcome to the Uncharted Entrepreneurs Podcast. If you're ready to tap into your God-given strengths, discover simple success strategies, and set that dream that's buried in your soul free, this podcast is for you. Hi, I'm your host, Sherry Miter. I went from building a chimney cleaning business with my husband to ranking in the top 1% as a leader in network marketing to my true calling as a visionary strategist and coach. I'm passionate about helping others navigate the sea of business and life. If you're ready to leave the daily grind behind and discover the joy of entrepreneurship, let's untie those dock lines and set sail. We are going into uncharted territory. Welcome back to the Uncharted Entrepreneurs Podcast. I'm your host, Sherry Miter, and we are continuing our series on the Clifton Strengths 34 themes. And today we are talking with Linda Smith from Your Day, Your Way, Bridal Boutique and Planning, and we're talking about her empathy theme. So welcome to the podcast, Linda.
Thanks, Sherry. I'm glad to be here.
So tell everybody before we dive into the empathy, tell everybody a little bit about what you do and who you are.
All righty. I'm a wedding planner and a boutique owner in East Greenbush. Been doing it about 14 years, and we help brides create their dream weddings, and we make them look beautiful with all of our gowns and accessories. It's a lot of fun. It's a nice, happy time for everybody, and I love doing it. It's my real passion.
Great.
I'm glad. Yeah.
Yeah. And we're going to see how empathy really helps you be great at what you do, because when you can kind of understand what the bride is looking for and all of that, I can see where this is a helpful trait to have or strength to have. So I'm excited to dive into this.
Me too.
So Linda's top five are empathy, belief, restorative responsibility, and adaptability. So empathy is number one. So it's the top of your top five. and empathy is a relationship building theme or domain, no surprise there. And I'm going to read the actual description per Clifton Strengths on empathy. And afterwards, Linda, just kind of, I want to see how it resonates with you when you kind of hear this description. And I know you've kind of been reviewing your actual report as well. So empathy, people with strong empathy talents can sense the emotions of those around them. They can feel what others are feeling as though the emotions were their own. They intuitively see the world through others' eyes and share their perspectives. They perceive people's pain or joy, sometimes before individuals even express it. Their natural ability to understand is powerful. They can hear unvoiced questions and anticipate needs. Where others grapple for words, they seem to find the right things to say and strike the right tone. As a result, they help people express their feelings to themselves and others. They help people give a voice to their emotional lives. So when you hear all of that, how does that resonate with you?
The first time I heard it, I was shocked, because I'm like, am I really, like, I didn't see that in me, because I didn't realize it was a strength before we talked about it. So I didn't look at me that way. But now that I know what it means, I realize how often I use it and how people in my life always say things to me like, you're always there. You always know what to say, how I'm feeling. And so it's kind of neat now that I've read into it and I know exactly what it means. I always thought it was like a sympathy thing, not this. It was like complete opposite. So it's kind of cool how now that I know what it is, I see myself using it every day and didn't even know it before.
Yeah. And that's the cool thing with the talents and strengths. And that's why I'm such a heavy believer on people doing the assessment, because we don't often recognize our own strengths, our own superpowers, just because we do them naturally so easily. And it's just who we are. It's what we do. So we don't recognize this as something unique to us. Sometimes we just wonder like, well, why didn't they get that? You know, right. We always look at others. It's like, what's wrong with you? Yeah. You don't have this. So it's powerful when you do recognize that, oh, that really is unique to me. And then how can I use this to just be even better? How can I hone it and make it, you know, that make it that superpower?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I'm glad you recognize it. And there's definitely a difference between empathy and sympathy. And right. I think sometimes people get the two mixed up. And that's before we hit record, we were saying that sometimes empathy can get a bad rap because most of us don't want to be sympathetic.
Right. Exactly. That's what I thought it was. I it sounds silly, but I didn't realize it was such a difference in the two. But seeing how being intuitive to people's needs and thoughts, you know, and if they're feeling bad or feeling sad or whatever, and I can say things, and we talked about this before, I know how you feel. A lot of people don't, you know, they're like, you can't say that, but I guess I kind of can. Uh-huh. Because I, you know, when you start talking and I'm talking to a couple or I'm talking to a friend or a family member, and I'm like, I get it. I really truly get it. I'm not just saying that. And it's kind of weird, but it's been helpful with my couples for sure. And especially with friends and family, it's been a huge help. And not realizing that it was a strength of mine. So, you know, it's always like people always say, oh, you're always so helpful and you always listen and so on. And I'm like, okay, I guess it's just me. But now I know that it's like really me and it's something I'm good at. And I never thought about it that way.
Right, right. And the more you can really like take that and really keep being aware of it and then really keep practicing it, like you could be really, really, really amazing at it and have that ability to, like you said, to almost sense things before other people can even say it. So with empathy in action, they can sense the feelings of others by imagining themselves in others' lives or situations. We're going to come back to that in a minute. Consider themselves to be emotional people, often weigh the feelings and perspectives of others before taking action. And they can hear the unvoiced questions and needs of others.
Mm-hmm.
I really want to talk a minute on it. I have to admit, as your business coach, because Linda and I have been working together for a while now as her coach, and I actually gave her bad advice once, and I'm going to put that out there. Because we were talking about COVID brides and the fact that so many of these brides had to cancel their wedding again and again and again, some of them, mm-hmm. and reschedule. And one time Linda and I were having a conversation about it. She's like, and you kept saying, well, I know how you feel. Like we were, I don't know. I don't even remember exactly what we were discussing. Yeah. But I just remember the conversation. It's like, well, you probably really couldn't say that because you wouldn't know how they feel because you've never had that experience. But yet that was bad advice of mine because I wasn't really looking at Linda's empathy, that she has that sixth sense in a way, and not the Bruce Willis movie sixth sense, but it is the knowing of really being able to take how people are emotionalizing things.
Yeah. It's like when they call and you can hear the stress in their voice, you can hear their concern or their disappointment. And I act on that, I guess. Now I can say I act on that, but you know, when they're really upset, and I understand it because it's a big dream of theirs that they've had planned and they want this to be perfect. And I understand that because that's what I do. And it's my job to hear those concerns in their voice and to hear what they're feeling, and turn those into, you know, positives for them. So they're not feeling those negatives. I try to turn them into the positives and make them realize everything's going to be okay. You know, so listening is a huge part of what I do, listening. And I actually will ask the questions. They're like, I never thought about that, you know? So again, these things I didn't realize were important. Now that I know they are, I tune in more, listen more, listen harder, if that's a thing. And it's true. You can kind of hear what people are thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that is such a great gift to have because so many people, first of all, so many people just don't even listen well today.
No.
And they don't listen well if they do listen, and they miss a lot of things. So somebody with high empathy, it really is a gift you have to really, and it's not even that you just hear what people are saying. You hear even deeper than that.
It's you can hear the emotion, and it's not just like in their tone, but you can hear it in their words, I guess, is the best way to put it. Mm. You know, like I said, whether they're depressed or sad or they're anxious or they're upset about, especially with my couples and what they're going through with the COVID and their weddings not taking place. It's important because you want to feel their emotions so that you can better understand and help them through whatever it is they're going through. And it could be the same with a family member or a friend or whatever, you know, when people are going through stuff, you can help them through it without, a lot of people are like, you know, I don't need you to fix something. I need you to just listen. And I feel like that's kind of where I can be useful because I'll listen and I can help without them thinking I'm trying to fix it, mm-hmm. you know, with the right words or the right, you know, phrases.
Yeah. And I kind of think, and I'm no psychologist or whoever would know the actual difference, but between the sympathy and empathy, I feel like sympathy, when somebody's super sympathetic, they're more, they get in the space with you and they join you in your woes.
Yep.
They get in bed with you and we're both going to sit here and cry and eat ice cream and watch bad movies all day, you know, somebody with great empathy, you hear their emotions.
Right. But
then you're going to help them work through the emotions versus joining them in the emotion. Does that
make
sense?
Yeah, that sums it up a lot better. Yeah, exactly. Because if a bride comes to me crying, I'm not going to sit there and pat them on the shoulder and, you know, be like, okay, you know, it's okay, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm going to jump in and say, okay, well, let's turn this around. What is it we can do to make it better? But in a positive way to where I'm not, you know, coddling them and making, you know, yeah, I want them to have their emotions. That's important. But mm-hmm. at the same time, you just kind of, you want to help them through it.
Right. Right. So you don't stay stuck in the emotion. You can acknowledge it. And then
exactly.
And I feel like because belief and restorative are your 2 and 3 strengths, like those I'm sure help with your empathy to guide them to the more positive. Let's work through this. Let's find a solution to this situation.
That's the restorative there, the problem solver.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the belief is that everything's going to be better. Yeah.
Exactly. Positive. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a great way to be. So it works out good for me.
Mm-hmm. What are some questions that you find, whether it is you're working with a bride or, like you said, a family member or maybe a coworker in another situation. And like, what do you find are some good questions that you use to kind of pull when you're sensing that maybe something's wrong with somebody, but maybe they're not saying it, but do you have some good questions that you.
I guess it's going to depend on the situation. Think if somebody has a situation, especially I'm going back to the brides because that's kind of what I do like all the time,
right?
You know, and I guess I would if they're upset more or less about things not going according to plan, that's a tough question because I kind of, it's going to depend on what they ask or what their problem is at that point. Golly, you got me on that one.
It's okay.
Now I need a scenario and then I can be like, well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or maybe if you think of any scenarios that you've had recently with any of the brides that you feel like, oh yeah, now that was my empathy really working.
Yeah. Thanks. yeah. It's like, I don't know. Cause it just happens. I just kind of like start talking to them about, you know, I'm thinking back to conversations I've recently had. Just the other day, and I don't know if this will come out right, but with the new restrictions and the regulations, we have a venue that's kind of still wanting to stay with the old regulations, and the bride's like, that's not what I want to do. And my question to her was, you know, if we have to do this, you know, are you going to be okay with it? And how can we make it easier on you and your guests? So instead of being like, yeah, I know that really stinks that the venue is not going to give us what we want, let's turn it around and make it a better, you know, situation for everybody. Let's make it easy. Let's make it, you know, doable and find out what would be best case scenario for her to make her happy. was how I kind of went around it instead of, you know, again, playing on her. Yeah, I understand that really stinks. Let's look at it the other way. We got to work with it and let's figure out how we can do what we need to do.
Great, great. So, and then that seemed to kind of help her work through that.
Yeah, because then she calmed down. You could hear the big sigh, like, okay, well, if we have to, this is what I would like to see happen. And so far, so good. So I guess it's just taking what they say and turning it into a positive, depending on the situation, and just taking it, turning it around and finding out what it is that's going to make them feel better and making that happen.
Yeah. Yeah. And as I just glanced down in my notebook here, and one of the things it says, when people with strong empathy talents are at their best when they are tailoring their approach by anticipating others' reactions and needs. So there you go.
There you go. Yep. There you go.
Yeah. So one of the blind spots or even the barriers of somebody with empathy, because every theme has those. Every theme has the blind spots and the barriers. And whether it's how we handle that theme, or sometimes it's how others perceive that theme, can be the blind spot or the barrier. And two of the blind spots with empathy could be they may get too emotionally involved in situations, or they appear soft. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had those? and I'm guessing by your chuckle that you have.
Yeah.
Any scenarios there, or how do you work through that?
I get emotionally involved in everything I do. That's just who I am. And it is, especially with work, it's hard because I can't critique people. If I see somebody trying really hard and I'm like, that's not right, I get kind of like, I'm so emotionally involved in that person. I can't tell them what they're doing wrong, or I'm just kind of like really soft. I'm easy on them, which is not a good thing to do when I'm working. You know, I kind of let that slide. And with clients, I do get emotionally involved if they're really asking for something and I know we can't do or whatever. I just might kind of, okay, we can do it. And I just kind of slide it in there. And that is a bad thing. Especially if people are looking for advice or looking for me to listen and I get too emotionally involved and I start, you know, going toward that coddling thing that I know I'm not supposed to do. But yeah, I do. I get emotionally involved in everything. I take it personally, which is good and bad because you want to get to know people, especially in my industry. But at the same time, you've got to keep it professional and you got to keep it separate. So yeah, those are two big ones for me on the bad side.
Mm-hmm. And have you found anything that helps you kind of work through that to keep from getting either too emotionally involved or to be a little not quite as soft if you have to be?
Mm-hmm. I actually, sometimes I just take a step back before I respond to like an email or to a, you know, voicemail and, you know, okay, I understand this is what they want, but I can't do it. Sometimes I go to my coach and I'll be like, I have a scenario. See, or I'll even ask my husband, just like, you know, I know what she wants or I know what I need to do and I can't do it. So I try to do it that way best I can without responding right away. Take a step back and think about it before responding. It's usually better for me.
Yeah. And that's great because that was kind of going to be the next place I wanted to go with this conversation was how do you take care of yourself? And I think one, having people that you can go to help work through emotional situations where you can kind of unload is very important to somebody with empathy. Because you've probably, I would imagine, experienced the thing with empathy is somebody with high empathy like you can take on so many people's emotions that it can be so physically draining because you're carrying around everybody else's feelings and emotions. Do you ever experience that?
Yeah, I do. And it's, I don't mind taking on other people's, I don't want to say problems, but you know, other people's things and dealing with it and helping them out with it, but it does get overwhelming. And I've learned to take a step back a lot, from coaching sessions with you. Some of the groups I've joined on Facebook have been great to help, you know, take a step back. you know, working out, starting to get back into that routine again, just to take my mind off of life is a big stress reliever. And it's important because when I didn't do that, I felt myself worn down a lot, unable to focus. So being able to step back and work, you know, even if I just go for a walk or, you know, read a book or listen to some music for like 15, 20 minutes a day, I'm just starting to get back in those habits. And I've noticed a huge difference in that. You know, cause I'm also the type of person who doesn't like to tell people my problems too often, even though I do talk to people, I like to do other things in place of that, but it does help a lot just to be able to take those 15 minutes a day and just do something for me. It could, like I said, it could be just listening to some music and nothing else. And it does, it helps me digress a little bit.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's very, I mean, that's important for all of us to have some way to de-stress and take the day's stuff off of us. But it's super, super important for somebody with empathy, because you do just naturally are going to take on those emotions. It's just who you are. So having a place that you can just let them go is like, it's a must. Yeah. It's not a luxury for you to take that time. And that's something to maybe think about to make sure that you fit it in, that for you to be able to be at your best for others, you almost like have to require that you keep that appointment with yourself too.
Yeah. And you made me aware of that a while back when we were talking about taking naps, and I'm just like, I can't just take those 15 minutes. I can't, it's been so hard for me my whole life. And, but like literally within the last month, 2 months, I've started taking about 15, 20 minutes a day and just doing something, whether it's just be, you know, a quick little blog in my journal or the music or whatever. And, you know, starting to go to the gym again. It's just, it's made a big difference in the last month and a half. So.
Great. And, and that's another one, is the journaling. For, again, you know, I'm a huge, huge, anybody that follows me, I'm so huge on journaling, which actually, a little side note, today, I just found out a couple of days ago, somebody created a specific strengths journal. And I'm pretty sure it's just called The Strengths Journal was the website, but I think mine's supposed to arrive today, and it ties in. It's all approved by Clifton, you know, Gallup. It's all legal, you know, so it matches that. So I'm so excited about that.
Yeah,
this journal. but journaling is, again, it's one of those things I think we should all be journaling, but for somebody with empathy, to be able to write down your emotions, especially if you're not one to share your emotions with somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Write down your feelings and emotions, even if they don't make sense, in a journal is huge, you know.
I always feel better after writing it down too.
Yeah.
Which I didn't realize. I mean, you would talk to me about it. And, you know, growing up, I always had like a journal / diary, whatever you call it. Even in my late 20s, early 30s. And then I stopped. And then just recently, within the last 6 months or so, we started talking about it again. And I started doing that. It could be in the middle of the night if I think of something, and I'll write it down. And it's just neat how it kind of clears your head for those few minutes, and you're not, it's not stuck in your head. Mm-hmm. You know, you can go back to it when you're ready because it's there. So it's kind of neat.
Right. Something else I heard recently too with empathy is that sometimes it's good to, and again, I feel like this is good for all of us, but specifically for somebody with empathy, or especially for somebody with empathy, is to take a digital detox to get offline. Because again, with the empathy, it's so easy, I would imagine, for you to see something and then take on those emotions of all these people's posts. And then you walk away. And if you ever feel like you get offline, off of Facebook or Instagram, and you're physically exhausted, it's because you've taken on, even unknowingly, those emotions. So sometimes it might be good even to unplug, maybe pick one day a week that you just stay off of Facebook.
Yeah.
And just,
that's important. Yeah, we did that. It's funny. We did it unknowingly the other night. My husband and I, we were watching TV, and then we shut the TV off, and we ended up playing a game. Neither one of us had our phones or our computers like the entire night. And then like before we went to bed, I'm like, oh my gosh, there's all these notifications. I didn't even look at them, and I still didn't. I went to bed, but it was kind of like neither one of us. Yeah, it was weird though, because we didn't even realize that we missed it.
Yeah.
So yeah, crazy.
Probably slept better. I bet.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. I love, sometimes I'll get into the mode of working or something and realize like, oh, I didn't need my phone, because it's so addicting. So addicting.
It is. Yeah. You want to know what everybody else is doing. Yeah. Why? I don't know. But
yeah. Well, I think too, a lot is because we're so isolated today. At least I have found that being so isolated in the last year, like it is our outlet to reach people sometimes. So it feels like we want to connect with people, that's where we go, but it's not always the healthiest connections, or, and I shouldn't even say that, it's just, it's not the same. It's not a real connection. Right. It's a false connection, but it's the best we have sometimes. So we go there.
We take what we can get.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's a whole nother podcast there. So a couple of things for continuing to invest in your empathy theme so that you can keep turning that into a strength and a superpower, because I definitely see where with working with the brides and having that empathy, like that's one of the things that'll make you stand out above a lot of other wedding planners, is that you are that listener. And I know you've shared that with me, that you have brides that tell you that.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I have cards up on my wall where they're like, you know, you were a confidant and you were, you know, a psychiatrist and you were this and that, and you know, you went above and beyond with all of that. So it's nice to hear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all of those words you just said, that's all your empathy. That was that empathy working. So a couple of things to do and continue to invest in it is practice refining the words you use to name the feelings you experience and observe in others. And I love that thought, because it's more of just, you know, sometimes we go to the same, like, are you sad? Are you happy? But this is a great journaling exercise, is that maybe at the end of the day, even think about what emotions did you feel? What emotions did you sense for others? And see if you can expand the verbiage of the emotions.
That's a neat idea. I like that idea.
Yeah. And it just kind of helps identify them in a clearer way. We just talked about this. Develop routines at the end of each day that allow you to help you decompress. If you don't do this, you might find your empathy talents draining you. This is exactly what we were just talking about.
It helps, I'll tell you.
Act quickly and firmly if someone is behaving in an unhealthy way. Understanding someone's emotional state does not mean that you must excuse this behavior. Be aware that when your empathy turns to sympathy, others might see you as a bleeding heart. It's something to kind of keep in mind if a situation arises that you do need to act on it. Just do it.
That is a good point.
And then the last thing I'll share here is partner with someone with strong command or activator talents. This person will help you to take needed action, even though people's feelings might suffer as a result. And command is one of mine. So
there you go. There you go. That works out.
I'm a great coach for you.
There you go. It's been working good. So there you go. Now we know why.
Yep.
So you are easy to talk to, and you know, all that. So. And you're very inspirational. So that's helpful.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
And I did not pay Linda for the plug there, but
not at all. No, I will talk good about you all day long.
Anything else, Linda, that you would like to add about empathy or any of knowing your strengths and how that has helped you in the last 6 months since we kind of really dove into this?
I'm glad I know what it is. Never would have thought that was something that, you know, people saw in me. First of all, we talked about going to other people and what they thought of, you know, my strengths or whatever. And the fact that people look up to me for that particular, like that they can come to me, they can talk to me, and, I can help them. That's huge. And, I'm hoping that I can turn that around to a higher level with my clients. But yeah, it's great to know what it is and how I can use it in my business and in my personal life. So I'm glad we've talked about it in our coaching sessions and we've dove deeper into it, because it's really been helpful to me. So I'm excited to keep moving forward with it and using it better.
Great. Yes. Yeah. We'll continue to kind of dive deeper into the other ones and how they all complement and work together too. Like we already kind of mentioned with the empathy, belief, and restorative. I see those definitely coming out in you a lot, which is fantastic. So
awesome.
Yeah.
Yay. So,
well, thank you for being on the podcast and being open to share about empathy today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Hey friends, thanks as always for listening to the Uncharted Entrepreneurs podcast. I really do appreciate your time and for you being here. And a few quick things before you do go. Number one, if you haven't yet, can you leave a review if you find these shows valuable? Reviews really do matter to iTunes and to others so that they know this episode or this podcast is worth taking the time to listen to out of the millions of podcasts out there. And you never know, I might just read your review on a future episode. Number two, make sure to hit that subscribe button so that you can be one of the first to know when a new episode downloads. And three, if you've been enjoying this series on the Clifton Strengths 34, this is a huge one. Can you take a screenshot? Post that picture on your Instagram or Facebook account. Make sure you tag me in it and let me know why you loved that episode and what you're enjoying about the series. And of course, if you've done the Clifton Strengths assessment, make sure to include your top five. And number four, and the last thing, if you take your assessment and you feel a little stuck and you're like, I don't even know what to do with this information right now, please feel free to reach out to me. I'm available on email and of course the DMs and Facebook and Instagram. And I would love to talk you through how to really tap into your talents so you can turn them into your superpowers and your strengths. Thanks again for listening to the show.